how taking a walk can clean water. That story and more on H2O Radio's weekly news report. I'm Jamie Sudler.
I'm Franny Halperin, and it's This Week in Water.
Last week, for the first time ever, the EPA finalized rules requiring the removal of certain PFAS chemicals from drinking water.
PFAS chemicals have been used since the 1940s to make, among other items, nonstick cookware, firefighting foams, waterproof clothing and fabric.
The compounds are linked to human health issues like liver disease, cancers, and developmental damage to infants and children, including low birth weights. They have spread into the air, water, and soils where they persist and don't break down, hence their nickname, forever chemicals.
To remove PFAS, water utilities will collectively have to spend $1.5 billion per year, which the EPA estimates will prevent around 10,000 deaths over decades and reduce illnesses.
However, the Biden administration's effort does not prevent PFAS pollution by the industry or force manufacturers to pay for cleanup, despite their knowing since the 1970s the chemicals were toxic. Furthermore, the new rules address only 6 compounds of the 15,000 that exist, which are vastly unregulated and understudied.
Water utilities say the new rules will lead to increased rates for consumers.
The Colorado River Basin faces yet another challenge, compounding problems caused by aridification and drought.
The plumbing at Glen Canyon Dam, which creates Lake Powell, the second largest reservoir on the Colorado River, may be too old and unreliable to allow any flow should levels drop below a certain point. That would threaten the delivery of water to people and agriculture.
There are 2 sets of outlets on the dam. Higher ones used to generate electricity, which is the way the river currently passes, and lower outlets designed in the 1950s for temporary use during construction.
The lower outlets were damaged during a recent experiment by the Bureau of Reclamation when it released water to restore eroded beaches in the Grand Canyon. Those tubes may be incapable of meeting water demands.
Zach Frankel of the Utah Rivers Council told a local news outlet that the archaic plumbing inside the Glen Canyon Dam is the most urgent water problem facing the 40 million people of the Colorado River Basin.
There are possible solutions to re-engineer the outlets, but they would be costly. Calls to decommission and remove the dam will likely find renewed support.
On March 26, the operators of a cargo ship named the Dali issued a Mayday call saying the vessel had lost power as it was leaving the port of Baltimore.
The massive ship struck the Francis Scott Key Bridge, causing it to collapse and plunge 6 construction workers filling potholes into the Patapsco River. 3 of the men, all of whom were from Central America and Mexico, remain missing.
The Dali was carrying more than 1 million gallons of fuel and over 4,600 shipping containers, 56 of which were filled with hazardous materials.
14 of those containers carrying soaps and perfumes were breached during the crash, but have been recovered, according to officials.
Records obtained by the Baltimore Sun show no evidence of fuel or hazardous materials leaching into the river from the ship, but there are concerns that lifting its bow, stuck in the mud, could kick up toxic sediment from Baltimore's industrial past.
Bill Dennison of the University of Maryland told The Sun it could have been a lot worse for the environment, but fortunately, most of the area's wildlife don't live near where the Dali accident occurred.
Currently, efforts are focused on removing containers from the ship to reduce its weight and allow access to the parts of the Key Bridge still resting atop the vessel.
An interesting side note, one of the cranes helping with the cleanup was once involved in a secret CIA mission to recover a Soviet submarine. Read all about it on our website at h2oradio.org. And finally, when disaster strikes, one immediate need is for safe drinking water, which could be challenging to access without power or with damage to infrastructure. But according to new research, a 10-minute walk could save the day.
Scientists from China and South Korea have developed a bottle that can disinfect water using static electricity generated by a person taking a stroll.
As New Scientist reports, the team took a reusable water bottle and put an electrode on the inside and a small piece of aluminum on the outside.
When a person grips the aluminum on the bottle and starts walking, electrostatic charges from the friction between their shoes and the ground flow to the electrode to create electric fields, which, when tested, were strong enough to kill nearly 100% of bacteria and viruses in river water within 10 minutes, and faster if the walker picked up their pace.
They found the type of footwear affected the amount of electrostatic charge collected, with rubber-soled shoes having significantly higher electrical output than shoes made from leather.
And although humid conditions reduce the disinfection levels, the authors say that with an estimated cost of $2 per bottle, the method could be a handy way to provide fresh water in disaster-stricken or rural areas.
Support for This Week in Water comes from Keep It Colorado, which partners with conservation groups statewide to create a Colorado where people, lands, water, and wildlife thrive. Learn more at keepitco.org.